Give you glory, Lord. Questions, but let me just say, take a few minutes and just cross out all the T's and dot the I's. Then we will take questions. I know there are things that have jumped because of time. We haven't, but I just feel a leading in the spirit to lay emphasis on certain areas. We'll come to this, but. Something important is that, because again, it's vital. Because I believe if we're able to catch the big picture, then all the other things can fit in. They will normally fit in. Now, when you look at the tabernacle, and you know, you can take it from me. I'm sure Tokumba has been talking about it, all that. There is no revelation of God that is higher, deeper, longer, whichever English language can you put, wider than this. Take it. You know I'm your brother. Take it from me. There's none. And any Christian doctrine that you have heard of, or that you have been taught, is inside. Marriage, school, work, anything is here. And that's what we know is God. And all the books of the Bible are based on this. Don't understand the tabernacle, you float in Revelation. You will never touch ground. You will not. Because it's based on when he says an angel stood at the altar. Which altar is he talking of? You understand? Which altar is he speaking of? You know, so this is the place where he gives you, you know, and there are three altars. So which one is the angel standing and then speaking and doing whatever he's doing? So that's why this is the ultimate. And well, I'm sure the Lord will give us time, and then we'll get into the tabernacle, and you can see how it relates to you, to the soul. It does. But I want to point out certain basic aspects. Now, in the tabernacle, the longest dimension, there is nothing higher. Any other thing you have to add to find. The longest dimension is 100. Because I believe that the confusion in the house of God, as I see generally, is a lack of appreciation of the basic. What is that basic? Sonship. God is calling us to be sons. And these sons are neither male nor female. But you have elders. So how do you relate to elders, to sonship? So those of us who are elders are in trouble, though. Because the fact that you are an elder or I'm an elder doesn't mean that I'm a son. I really pray it can hit you the way it has hit me. That is, I can be a good elder and not be a son. And I missed it. Amen. So eldership is an administrative, temporary, ad hoc. Is there any lawyer here? Tell me. So you can explain to us later. Sister Judith and the others. It's an ad hoc. And ad hoc means temporary. When he does this, when it has finished, it will be dismantled for the reality. And the reality is what? Sonship. Let's even take the other one. Say he has given some apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists. Which other one again? Helps. What again do you have? Until we all come, then it is dismantled. So the only thing that cannot be dismantled, that we don't have any scripture to dismantle it, is what? Sonship. That God has called you to be a joint heir with Christ. It's a permanent calling. So I, whatever God has given me to do in his house, whatever he's calling you to do in your house, does not touch sonship. Sonship is the, I'm first of all a son. I'm first of all a brother. Before any other thing that you want to add or God is adding or giving to you. You know, so those have to be, and you can see that's the longest dimension, 100. Next question, I'm sure somebody will ask it. If you don't ask, I'm asking. How do you know 100 means sonship? Very easy. Abraham was 75 years when God promised him a son. After 25 years, what happened? Abraham had a son. You can find it in Genesis 21:5, I think. It says that when Abraham was 100, he brought forth his son. So 100 is the number of sonship. But there are other ways of finding that. That one is more complicated for you. Okay? The number 100, one, is the number of God. One. The Lord your God is one God. Is it not? The number zero is zero, it means seed. Alright? So seed in two dimensions is a witness. So that is the witness, when the witness of God comes into a man, fully it declares him to be a son. So that's complicated. It's not necessary. Just know that 100 is the number of sonship. Is the longest dimension. Okay. How about 50? This one was 100 cubits. This one was 50 cubits. So, that's why I said it's not a matter of running down anybody. Because I have not mentioned names. It's just the issue. The Pentecostal anointing. I'm a product of it. All right. I have friends who are there. Sorry. It's imperfect. It's limited. It can never bring you to sonship. The Pentecostal anointing can never. It is flawed. I don't know which other English I can use. It is inadequate. In message, they will say ab initio. That means from beginning. It's flawed. It can never bring you and I to such a... Why? 50 means what? There are two things 50 means. 50 means Jubilee. Alright? Even that Jubilee, I hope you understand. Jubilee is not that I'm sick, I'm no longer sick. That's not Jubilee. Jubilee has to do with inheritance. Eh? On the year of Jubilee, every man goes what? Goes back to the father's house. Who is your father? Who is your father's house? So when you talk about Jubilee, he's talking about going back. Say, I will arrive and go back to my father. Amen. So he's speaking about the spiritual inheritance. If you really understand what Jubilee is. He says, the land shall not be sold forever. Alright? So, and that land is the soul. This soul has been inhabited by seven nations. The Gagashites, the Canaanites, blah, blah, blah. They're all there. Somebody must drive them out and inherit the land. So, he told them, all right, your Ephraimites, you are very strong. Eh? Yeah, you have all the power, no problem. Go to the mountain. Drive away the Amorites. Take their land. The Amorite is the mind. They dwell in the mountains, in the high places. They cast down imaginations and every high thing. Alright? So the strong people in God, God says, overcome your mind first. Huh? The national mind, the tribal mind, the family mind, and the personal mind. Alright? When you overcome, then you are ready to come into the things of God. So, the first 50 stands for Jubilee. But the second one is what is of interest to us. Second one is what? Pentecost. 50 means Pentecost. And on the board, it's very clear. 50 is halfway of 100. The Pentecostal church and experience, the way it has been designed of God, it's a temporary makeshift arrangement. It doesn't belong to you, it doesn't belong to me. After some time, God will drive every man from that realm. And it's either you're moving forward or you're moving backwards. And those who know that on the day of atonement, this Pentecostal realm is vacant. Because the high priest has to go in. On the day of atonement, where is where we are going to? There are two movements. Either you are moving forward or going completely out. And that is what we are seeing in the church now. Because it says that the church will be given over to the Gentiles. That Gentile means worldly, the spirit of whoredoms, spirit of worldliness, is eating into the church. Alright? And it is God's own way of driving us forward. So if you really love God, you will have no other choice but to do what? Move forward. And moving forward, you are coming to this experience. So I will meet you between the wings of the cherubim. So that is the direction you find in the church. Some are going forward, some are drawing back to perdition. So the scripture says, we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who press on to the saving of the soul. That's why God called us out. Not to say we don't have pastor, we have pastor, we should share and share all those other things. God called us out that he might save the soul. He might deal with the soul. Now, I don't know if this is clear. I can move forward. Now, let's go again to Hebrews 6. We will come to Leviticus together. Remember, we talked about the feast of the Lord. Now, there are three. I've spoken about the first one, Passover. Second one, Pentecost, and we are looking at the third one. We say the third feast has three parts. One is blowing trumpets. Two is atonement, and then three is tabernacles. When you think of tabernacle, think of your mind. I know it may not be very clear. When you think of tabernacle, think of your mind. Amen. Because see, that box there is actually your mind. That's that box. The only what you call the ark is which actually your mind. Amen. Look at the dimensions of the ark. It is 2.5 cubits by length, 1.5 by width. Why is it half? Why 1.5? 2.5? Simple, because somebody has to make off the other half. 2.5 plus 2.5 gives you 5, and that's grace. So, and that's why it's called the mercy seat. It's the place where God meets with man and overshadows man. Okay, so there's no way I can be complete without God. So it is entrenched. So I can't come out here and tell you I'm God. I'm not God, though. my children are here, my wife is here. They know this man. USA, you will know now. Eh? Brother, don't you know? I'm not God. So his man overlaid with gold. That's the teacher. And it's 2.5 cubits by 1.5. But it is 3 cubits high. Amen. So it's coming to resurrection. And my soul is going to be resurrected in Christ. And when in resurrection, I'm going to be overshadowed. That's why you have the 2 wings of the cherubim made of solid gold. That is the place where God overshadows man. Amen. And that is the place of oneness, marriage. That's where God wants you to be. And that realm is in the mind. It's in the mind. That's where it is. Now, the devil has told us, you don't talk about the mind, it's not Christian, it's for lodge people. Who else again is the mind for? Amen. Anything about the mind, no, the psychology. I don't preach Christian. I'm not talking Christian psychology. We're talking about the wisdom of God among those who are perfect. Amen. I say wisdom is the principal thing. So that one, we can't get into that one. That would be another day. We'll talk about the wisdom of God and the practicalities of that. Because you need wisdom to overcome the certain sins which many of us are struggling with. You understand? You need wisdom to overcome the strange woman. So how do you practicalize it? That's a different thing altogether. But be that as it may. So this is, remember, God takes us out of eternity into time. Alright? And the purpose is that to deal with the heart. Now, what does the Bible say about the heart? That the heart of man is what? Deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Amen. But does it say the heart can be perfect? Yeah. He saw a man whose heart was after the Lord. And his name is what? David. Amen. So the heart that was not pure, that was evil, can be cleansed, can be redeemed. And that heart, that mind, is what you call the tabernacle, the ark of the covenant. Do you know why? Good. Now, when you look at the ark, you find 3 things inside the ark. Number one, what is it? You find the first thing they put there was a pot of manna, energy, and strength. Now, the energy that my body has is my soul. Do you understand that law? And the medical people have what they call psychosomatic. That means diseases that are related to the mind. It's not strange. The Bible says wine to make the heart gland and to heal the body so that it's not rotten. The word of God, when you receive it, brings life to the body. Don't you understand? So garlic is good, but I know something better. It's called the wisdom of God. Amen. Don't you understand? So the energy of the soul must come from my spirit. Man is dead. Man died because the spirit has been cut off. You understand? And that's why man continues to die. But when the spirit is connected back to the spirit of God, and the life of God starts flowing into the soul, the life of God comes. And the soul receives life. And therefore, the body also will be changed. Now, when the fullness of God comes into the soul, as it is about to happen. Now, the next thing that is about to happen in the church is that this kingdom of God, this righteousness that is in the spirit, is soon going to come into the soul. When that happens and the soul is sealed, the body will be changed. Now, God says, He says, do not hurt the earth until we seal the servants of God. Where? In the forehead, in the mind. There must be a sealing. How do you seal? You seal with the inkhorn. Is it not so? The inkhorn is the ministry of the word. It's the mystery of the word that seals the mind. Because Psalm 19 says, the word of the Lord is what? Perfect. Doing what? Converting the mind. When it says soul, it's impersonal. Bring it home. Converting my mind. Hallelujah. So how can a young man cleanse his way? By doing what? Taking heed. Saying, your word have I hid in my heart. Do you know your heart is a treasure? It's a treasure house of God. That treasure house has been captured by darkness, spirits of darkness. The devil is the principal spirit of darkness. He has captured the mind because he knows that the soul is the treasure house. With the soul, with the mind, you can do all manner of wickedness in the world. That's why he needs the mind. Amen. So, the center of what God is doing is to change the mind. It's to recreate the mind, to recover the mind. So, be ye transformed by the renewing. That word transform is metamorpho. 1 degree. After today, our minds will have been renewed. Is it not so? There's a level of rising in God. And when you rise, the life of God comes into you. And there's a measure of life that comes to your body also. Amen. So the church is rising. You have to believe it. And God is teaching us how to rise. And it is to reconnect the mind. But how can I connect my mind that is falling? So there are two things that do that. Of course, that is the purpose of the holy place. The holy place is God's provision to bring the life of God into the soul. But you see, the life of God that comes to the soul must come through your spirit. So it is spirit of God, your own spirit, and your soul. That's why it says in Ephesians that we have a deposit, a down payment, alright, that we have been given a spirit. When you go born again, you receive the spirit as a down payment until the redemption, until the full possession of that which has been possessed of God. Amen. Jesus paid the price to possess you, but that price, that possession cannot be until the mind is completely taken over by God. How can God take your mind when you are not presenting it to Him? It's an offering. So therefore, present yourself as a living. So my mind must be brought, must be. So it says, my son, incline thy heart to my word. Do not forsake my law. Write it upon the table of your heart. Put it upon your neck. The neck is symbolic for the heart, but I hope you know. Put it, let it be like ornament in your heart. All right? So that the king will desire you. How can you desire a woman that is not beautiful? The king is looking into the heart. Say, I look at the Lord, I try the reins. I'm looking at the heart. He's looking for the heart that has the jewel. That proper jewel must be there. So when you look at the golden altar, it says, you know, you have incense. There are four types of incense. Four things used to make the incense. The incense is the aroma, isn't it also? There's an aroma, there's a jewel that the soul must have. And you can see that picture with Esther. Esther had to be oiled. Okay, sweet odors. 6 months. Six is the number of man. Don't you understand? The last six was for man, repentance. The repentance, you know, okay, if you look at on the day they left Egypt, when they were eating the Passover. All right. There was a principal thing they did. So they ate it with what? Bitter herbs. The bitter herbs piece of repentance. Okay, it's not the one to say, I have repented. It is repentance from dead works. And it is the dead works of the soul. Alright? And one of the things that we are judged on that night was the guts of, he said, I will judge the guts of Egypt. You cannot say you are repenting when you are not dealing with the guts of Egypt. And the principal god of Egypt is the one that, the serpent spirit. Serpent is too crude. It has a better way. It has a more British more British leaning. You know the name? It's fashion. Huh? Fashion. Catwalk. I love the things that go with catwalk. So there's a spirit of whoredom that covers Egypt. Alright, it's on the face, it's on the mind. The Pharaoh had it on his mind. It's a covering on his mind. And every bride of Christ must have that removed. And then you say on your forehead is wisdom. Where you wear jewels, you wear it on the forehead. That's where you say the queen shall be crowned. You see that in Revelation 12, say a woman, say she was crowned with what? 12 stars. Wisdom is the star of God. It's a nature of brightness. You know, say they that be wise shall turn many to righteousness, and they shall shine forth as stars and firmament in the kingdom of their Father. When wisdom comes into you, it's brightness. You know, say by wisdom men depart from iniquity. Don't you understand? So that wisdom is different from earthly wisdom. Say earthly wisdom is sensual and carnal, and where there is strife and bitterness, that's what? Every evil work. See, this wisdom does not come from above. So the wisdom that we have had is the wisdom of carnality, fighting, quarreling with ourselves, gossiping. And God says, take that wisdom away and get another wisdom. So when wisdom enters your heart, how can something enter you that was not there before? You understand? So there's a wisdom that must come to us to change the one we have. So there is a nature of wisdom that must be added to. Say, add unto your faith what? Virtue. Unto virtue, knowledge. Unto, and then finally, charity. Amen. Those are the things that we need to add in our hearts. But so we must have a focus and a direction. So when we look at the tabernacle, we see the apostolic direction that is calling us to be a son. And we have an example of who a son is, Jesus Christ. He came and lived amongst us. So it says, looking unto Jesus. Don't look to me, because I have a lot of problems. Alright? If you look to this man, you are even dead. Say, look at him now. Every day. Leave the man alone. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. And as we begin to look unto him, we'll come closer. As you begin to look unto the Lord, you see that you come closer. Amen. So the church is coming closer, and it is for a purpose. Now, so I'm not going to get into this unless you have questions, then we can deal with it. We have to deal with something else. So now, when you look at the second feast I was talking about, let's look at the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 23. Let's just take it because by 4 I must close, or a few minutes from now, so that we can take questions. Leviticus 23, verse 10, I think. No, go forward. No, come forward, I'm at 14, 15. No, come down. 27, okay, fine. Okay, verse 26, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. And you shall do what? You shall afflict the soul and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, I have a question. Why do I need to afflict the soul? Why? Why do you afflict the soul if soul is not doing anything? What is the soul doing that for which you need to afflict it? You must understand that even though you don't know what you are chasing, how can you run when you have not heard?
The trumpet must make a second sound, then you run. Amen. So it says to make the vision clear. Write it clear so that he may run that readeth it. So there's a reason why the soul must run. Why are you going to afflict the soul? You say you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be, that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off. Go up. He shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that day that do any work in that same day, the same spirit will I destroy from among. You see, when you read, you have to read forward and back. Alright, so if I'm saying so, why not spirit? Why not leg? Amen. The center is the soul. The center is the soul. The devil got into Bible school a long time ago, before you were born. He went to Bible school and rewrote the Bible. He rewrote the preaching. The ministries that have come, that are running, say some are running, I have not sent them. It's good to want to preach the gospel, but what message do you have? Let's look at that. The young man was running. He said, oh, David, let me run. Oh, my Lord, let me run. He says, do not run. Sit down. They ask him, what did you see? I heard a tumult. Tumult? I'm asking you for my son. You tell me you heard the tumult. Oh, yeah, wait by the time. He said, oh, my God, let me run. What are you running for now? What did you see? The man didn't say anything. He saw a tumult. He saw commotion. He saw a crusade. And he said, run. He said, wait. He said, we'll see another man running. He said, who is he? He said, he's running very slowly. He said, he's a good man. He has a message. When he came, he said, I saw the sun. He said, let the soul of that young man also be like the soul of all them that I hate. My God. Hallelujah. The true ministry is the ministry that has the message of judgment for the carnal man. Absalom is the carnal man. Is the carnal soul. Don't you understand? Any ministry that does not have that message of the death to self, God say, wait by the side. But we have to prove it. We have to prove it. We have to prove it. Now, when you go to the tabernacle, yeah, that's how you know. This is the position of the ministry. And on the side, that's where you find the ministry, in the tabernacle. Now, it says, at the entrance from the... Sorry, I missed it. It's here. This is the veil. So this is where you find. Because here, you have five pillars. There are five pillars. And you have four here. So through much tribulation, you enter into the holiest of all. Now, to come in, you must go through the fivefold ministry. Alright? The fivefold ministry is what brings you under the dispensation of the ministry of the Spirit and the ministry of the Word. Alright? Now, how do you know a right ministry? One major qualification. It says the pillars here must be set in brass. It's wood covered with gold, but the socket, what connects it to the earth, is brass. That's how you do a true ministry. Any true ministry that is standing before God, that has been positioned to show you the way to the kingdom, must stand in judgment against the flesh. That's how you know. Any ministry that makes an allowance for self, tell it to sit down. It doesn't have a word about the judgment of the son of rebellion. That son of rebellion is this man here. He said, wisdom has slain her beast. Do you understand? Wisdom is the only thing that can slay the beast. That can slay the beastly nature within you. Every other thing will be telling you that you are good. The Lord will bless you. It is well with you. The Lord will prosper you. Amen. Hallelujah. So the true ministry will start standing in brass. And I give you another scripture. When they were going to cross into the promised land, is it not so? Now they came to another place, Jordan. And we know this is Jordan. This is Jordan. This is the Red Sea. Huh? Okay, and then this is where you have Euphrates, the River of Life. So this is where we are concerned with. The thing that brings you into the promised land is Jordan. And Jordan means what? Death. And he told them that the ministry, those who are carrying the ark, where should they stand? They will stand in the midst of Jordan. Immediately they touched Jordan, it split. And the people of God could go in. The ministry must stand in Jordan. So as they are standing there, then they're able to open the way. So it says, follow me as I follow Christ. So there are those principles you can run on and on and on. So I can give you another example. Now he said, the priesthood, if you look at Exodus 29, he said you will wear Aaron, the garment of priesthood. Now there is something that you must know. And Paul talked about it. Paul said, you do not need letters from us that we are the ministers of God. Is it not so? You are going somewhere and say, please, when you go there, they will write them too, so that you know that these are your... No. So that we are your epistles. You are our own epistles, written. Read and know of all men. Amen. How do you know? How do you know a true ministry? How do you know a true ministry? You know it in your heart. You must have a testing, you must have a laboratory in your heart. Where you test, you say, judge every spirit to know whether it's of God. If you don't judge, me as a judge, if you're not judging what I'm saying now, that's your wahala, because if I'm you, I'll be judging. Amen. In fact, I judge at different levels. I don't even hear what the man is saying. I'm looking at the spirit. I judge the spirit. We are testing it to know whether it's passing the test or not. Amen. Hallelujah. We must judge the spirit. Test the spirit to know whether it's of God. All right. And the true ministry stands and brings it. Now it says on the priesthood. Say there is something that the priest must wear. Huh? You must wear bells. If you move like this, there's a witness in the spirit that the man is alive. Amen. So if the ministry is going on and you're not hearing any bells in you, so this one is dead meat, stale bread. It's not burning your heart. Say, did not our heart burn while he talked with us? Don't you understand? When Jesus was, he said their heart burned. They didn't quite know who he was. Then. See, there's something about this ministry. It was burning in their heart. By the time their eyes opened, it was gone. Hallelujah. So, there's a place where we will have a witness. It's called the Urim and Thummim. That's in the old. What is the new one? Is there the eyes of the understanding? Oh my God, we can't get into it. See, the mind is a sense organ. Okay, this one now, it says it's not in the book. Forget me. Just go ask God. The mind is the place of knowing. The man knows. And when God finishes with you, you'll be full of eyes. In, out, behind, in front, and inside. Everything about you will be knowing. You will know God and you are tired of knowing God. In fact, you will continue to know God. Hallelujah. You say, we shall know as we are known. So you come to a place where we are children, we see things like a shadow. Alright? As long as you are a child, you speak like a child, you behave like a child. You come to a place where the veil begins to be taken away. And then you're able to know God as you are known. So that is the place where we are going to. Now, you cannot get there. I cannot go there if I quench the spirit. You must hear God to know when to go to market and when not to. That's how you start. You must hear God when to go to that supermarket and when not to. Because you go there, you get it cheap. You go there, you gotta waste your money. So start from there. When you walk with God in the simple things, then the big things you are ready to run. Amen. So the thing is practical, and he's saying that the soul must be dealt with. You must afflict the soul. Now, the soul is guilty in several ways. Now, okay, let's look at this picture. Now, if you look at when they were going to the promised land, when they came to the land, it was already occupied. It was already occupied. Who were the people there? What were they doing there? But the scriptures, it concentrates on a particular tribe called the Amorites and the Canaanites. But let's look at the Amorites. The Amorites had two kings. And they were at the entrance into the promised land. What are their names? Og and Sihon. Og, I always remember, means a circle. When I hear circle, my mind goes one place. A circle has no ending. You know, the giver said, take this ring. It's like a circle. It shows that my love for my wife is round, shall never end. Amen. Oh, praise God. That is one level of circular. There's another one. Let me give you an example. Say, eyes that can never cease from adultery. It's a circle. It's called desire. Huh? Lost. You see, one of the spirits that the church must deal with is the spirit of lust. It has a brother called Simon. Simon means tempestuous. Temper is emotions. So those two are standing on the way into the promised land. When you slay them, you enter. Hallelujah. When I deal with Simon and Og, I'm ready to enter. Did you know that some people entered before crossing Jordan? Huh? Yes. The two tribes and half, they entered before they even crossed Jordan. So it was a foretaste. Hallelujah. So God can give you a foretaste. And I was telling you about the golden pot of manna. The golden pot of manna was an experience they had. It was not, they were not in the sky, it was on earth. They needed food. They went out to gather food. He said, take it as a memorial and keep. The other one, Moses went up to the mountain. And God wrote, he came down, broke it. God said, you now rise. It was an experience Moses walked in. Alright? The other one was contention in the house of God, fighting for eldership. Okay, you know about that one. Fighting for eldership. Who will be making an announcement here? When I make the bread, I follow. When the other brother makes, they follow. So it means it's the pastor, me too. I will still be struggle so that when I announce, they will follow me. Oh God, God will help us. Amen. So they were fighting for it, and she got to say, no problem. Two of you, all of you, come inside. You know, and then they brought the ark. Sorry, the rod, Aaron's rod and budget. So it's a contention of darkness against the light. Don't you understand? Because it was through the light. But by morning, somebody's rod began to bring forth. Amen. Brethren, when we stay in the presence of God, the rod will begin to bud. Amen. That's just stay in the God's presence. God will declare those whom he has taken care of. You understand? So, the things inside the ark, we are gotten by experience. It didn't fall from heaven. If you look at the living creatures, one was the face of a lion. You cannot have a lion in your village. Yeah? There's one even in London here. You see lion, you see a cow, you see the other one like a bird. These are normal experiences. So for you to overcome, it's not, God is not taking you out of this earth. Go somewhere. While you are here, in the things you are doing, you overcome. You receive that testimony of Christ, you know, that is written. You know, so the soul must be afflicted. Now, when he talks about affliction of the soul, there are seven. I use the word for want of the, what to describe, how to describe it. Sorry, my time is 4:00. That's why I'm aiming for 4. So after 4, I must close. But there are two times now. My own is saying, is this the one? Which one are we following? Is this one? This one is fast. Uh-huh. Okay, because my own is saying 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Okay, so let's forget this one. Don't look at this one. Look at that. So let's look at the soul. So what is wrong with the soul? When you go to Revelation, have you seen where it says there was a beast that had 7 heads? Who is that beast? And what are those 7 heads? Have you read where it says that there were some people whose head were beheaded? So what is that beheading? These are questions for you to look at. But you see, the soul has 7, what I call 7 different realms of activities or functions. There are 7 different things, the soul does every day, that you do every day. Whether you believe it or not, you must do it. At the end of the day, those 7 things will take place. And those are the things that God is expecting you and me to be dealing with now. That's what I'm supposed to be engaged in. Now, the devil, I told you, went to Bible school and twisted the doctrines. And one of the things that came out is that when you are born again, you are going to heaven. I'm not going to put names because I'm not looking at names. That immediately you are born again, you are ready to go somewhere. It cannot be. It cannot be. Okay? Because when God says, on the day of Passover, God says, this month shall be the month of Abib. What does Abib mean? The beginning of your journey. You begin the journey. It's not saying the journey will end there. You start the journey. Passover, you go to Pentecost before you go to Tabernacles. There are 3 journeys that you make. So he says you will carry a rod. They had to carry a rod. And they had to eat it in haste. Because they were going to go forth. Amen. And the journey begins in midnight and ends in midnight. Don't you understand? The journey begins in the night and ends at midnight. And right now we are coming to the end of the journey. Everybody is tired. You are weary. But that's why you need to push yourself further. Amen. Hallelujah. So, but that's not the only thing that takes place. Say, on that day, say they hold the staff and that they get their loins. So this journey is actually the journey of the mind. It is the movement of the mind out of captivity into that place of authority in Christ. Because we are supposed to be joint heirs with Christ. That is your calling in God. Don't you understand? But the mind is in dungeon. It's in captivity. He says, that will not leave my soul in hell. So God takes us, say he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear life. So there's a movement. So the soul is involved in works of darkness. And one of the major characteristics of the soul is that it must be a habitation of the spirit. And that's why it says, do you not know that you are a habitation? You are a temple. If I ask you, define a temple for me, how will you define a temple? A temple is the house where a spirit is worshipped. The one in your village, you know. The point, the fellow says, see that road, don't go that road. Because there are people who are doing something there. A temple is the dwelling place of a spirit. And in that temple, you have an altar. Amen. So, one of the things the soul is being judged is because it has been the habitation of spirit. Now, let's look at the word Babylon. My understanding of Babylon 30 years ago was to change geographical location. I used to go to church here. My church had changed. We now meet in so and so and so. Bola knows, because we are in the campus. We are going somewhere. We changed. Sister, is it not so? We changed geographical location. No problem. But this is 30 years after. The chickens have come home to roost. We know it is more than changing geography, is it not so? You say Babylon is now the habitation of what? Devils. I'm sorry. It's very hard. You have to deal with it. I had to deal with it. And I have come out clean. I said, God, I agree. So you, I'm not pushing it on you. You have to sort it out. But for me, I'm very, very clear with it. As I'm talking to you, there are wrong spirits in me already. Okay, you don't agree. As I'm talking to you now, there are things I have not dealt with. That I'm believing God I will deal with tomorrow. Did you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. That is saying, if we say we do not have any sin, what happens to us? We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. So the part of the judge is like what? That shines what? It's a first fool, not before. It's the second fool that is the proper. What does that mean? I know who I am. And I know my enemies. It is not my brethren. My enemies are not you people, forget it. The enemies were here. Hallelujah. That's what Micah says, that the man's enemy are those of his own household. This is a household. He says, therefore, yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto holiness. Hallelujah. That is the law. So I must know. I know what I thought. Say, I do not find like one beating the air. No. Say, well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So my soul is that promised land, and there are Amorites, Gergashites. There are spirits I contacted when I went to secondary school. When you meet me after this, I'll give you one of the spirits. You don't want to know about them. Yes. Oh yes. I was smoking. Yeah, he said, "Mine is born again." I'm born again, but I'm fighting with something. After this meeting, I will explain to you. Amen. The Bible says that when you fight against a stronghold, you wage long battle against it. Amen. So we're believing that the time will come when we will overcome this spirit. Now, I know where my energy source is. Now, many of us, we do not know where our energy source is. Our energy source is in the spirit. But how can you have energy source when the lamp is dry? Look, the offering, fire must come on this altar. Fire must come on that altar to even start anything. God told me that you are backsliding because the fire is dead. I'm not telling you about you, I'm talking about me. God told me you are backsliding. Say why? Say the fire is dead. The spirit is dry. There's no oil running in the spirit. Talk of the vessel. Don't you understand? This oil has to enter the spirit first before it will enter the soul. Talk of the body. But the main of us, the fire is off, it's quenched. Our spirits are dry. How can the soul now be? How can you have compassion, love, the fruits of the Spirit in your soul when that which is going to give you life is dead? So we need to come back and bring an offering. The fire must fall again. If you want fire, then you must bring an offering. An offering of your soul. Amen. Then the fire of God will come. There will be a fresh refreshing that will quicken your spirit and bring you back to life. Amen. You know, the river, yes, the river is there, but the river can dry. Haven't you seen where the river dried? It's dried. The water is gone. And in the house of God, God said that the fire has quenched a long time. It happened in the time of Eli. The fire quenched. And the young boys went to go and get fire from their father's house. It was called strange fire. You understand? So, one, we are trying to deal with an initial problem. Let the fire come, then the work in the soul will start. So the soul is a habitation. It must be ruled by a spirit. If you don't know anything, know that one today. Your soul is a lower energy in the spirit. It must be ruled. It must be married. If I say, I don't want God, no problem, I have accepted the devil. You say, oh, God doesn't exist, no problem. Say there's no God, there's no problem. All the men who say there are no God, when they were dying, they confessed that there was God. Charles Darwin was number one. I hope you know. He died a believer. Yes, he died. He said, God, have mercy on me. God said, yes, come, no problem. Come. So, if you reject God, you accept another spirit. Because the spirit is of a lower nature. It's female. That's why it says you are the bride of Christ. I don't know how to explain it. The soul is of a lower energy. It has no life of its own. Must be energized. That's why you have a spirit. But if there is sin, then the spirit of man cannot contact the spirit of God. Don't you understand? It is detached. It's like a widow. It's married, but the husband is dead. That is the soul of an unbeliever. The spirit is detached from God. That detachment is temporary. If that soul goes through life and is not able to reconnect, what happens? That disconnection becomes permanent. And that soul has only one place it can go to. Where is that? Lake of fire. And that is the mercy of God for that soul. Amen. Say amen now. That is the pathway of the soul. It comes into the world detached from God. The ministry of the gospel comes to help that soul reconnect back to the source of life. And the life of God starts flowing. Amen. But the soul still has a problem. It has no life of its own. But the plan of God is that it will become a life-giving spirit. That means it will come to the point where it is clothed. The nature has changed so much that it has acquired the nature of the Son. Hallelujah. It becomes a life-giving spirit. Hallelujah. That soul is saved. That's where me and you should be going. We should be pressing on to the saving of the soul. So there are three realms of the soul. Dead soul, no life from God. The only way you can get life is through things on the earth. Fashion, school, eating, all that thing. Those things are things that give you, like we're all watching football now, getting life and shouting. When our team dies, we go and die, jump from the sky and die. That is carnal, earthly. You can never receive anything from God. You cannot. You and I cannot behave like them. I hope we cannot behave like them. Because you have an ability to draw down from God. Say amen now. Hallelujah. You can draw down. And you can come to the point where you don't even need anything at all. Jesus says, I live by the Father. Amen. You didn't need. Say, have you eaten food? Say, I have food to eat that you don't know. Don't you understand? It's okay, give me, I'll eat. So he could eat the food. But that was not his main source of life. Hallelujah. Brethren, that's where he's calling us to. That's where we're going to. That is the place where the church is aiming to be. And those are the first fruits. Amen. He's calling us there. So the soul has a problem. You know, the soul is a priest. It's either it's serving in the house of Baal or serving as a priest of Christ. To serve in the house of Baal, it must have a nature of darkness. That's why it says, I will make a new covenant. I will put my law in the inward part and I will change it. Let me tell you, you cannot do anything that is not written in your heart. I don't know. You know, the proteins in your body are produced because somebody reads a law and makes it. It is what it reads that it produces. If that code is wrong, it will still produce wrong proteins, nonsense proteins. That is how the mind works. The mind reads a law written in the conscience. Don't you understand? The law in the conscience is death, 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 darkness, darkness. That's why the soul brings forth dead works. In fact, the soul is an exporter of darkness. If you understand what the devil, that has been the plan of the devil, convert the soul to a nature of darkness and export darkness all over the world. So God says, no problem. I have a better plan. I'm going to go inside that same place. Change it. Hallelujah. I will superimpose my own law of righteousness. And that same soul will begin to bring forth life. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to. And that journey cannot be finished in one day. It's here a little. There a little. Amen. So it's like a light that shines in the dark place until the day is done. Day means sun. A nature of that of light. Day star are done. It's settled. Amen. And the light of God begins to come and shine forth. That is what, so when he tells you holy of holies, those are big grammar. He's speaking about a change of nature. So the new covenant is about the change of nature. And that change of nature is what happens in the holy place and is completed in the most holy place. So, when somebody comes into the outer court, it is a place of cleansing. It's a place of initiation, a covenant between you and God. You start the journey. But you must come to the house. The feeding house is the lampstand and the table of shewbread. That's where the soul is fed with the life and the spirit of God. That's where the energy and that's where the nature is changed. And when that soul is changed, it is offered at the offering of the soul. So when you say the soul that must be afflicted, you're saying the old lifestyle of my soul must be changed. And that's why he says that he found fault with the old covenant, because you can see he could not address the problem of man. The problem was a problem in his mind. So God says that I will get a new one that will go down to the mind. I will write my law and I will change it. And you see, the signs of that are everywhere. You see it during the Passover. Say, you get their loins, take your staff, and you begin a journey. Amen. It's a journey of soul. And that soul ends up. Now, the last thing I'll say before I go, I have 5 minutes, is when we look at, we'll talk about atonement. Let's talk about the proper thing. That's tabernacle. Tabernacle is 3 things. The wine, the oil, and the fruit. Now, the fruit is the fig tree. It speaks of sweetness. The oil speaks of the olive speaks of the oil, and then finally the wine is gotten from the vine. Let's start with the vine. When you have oil, go home and check. All the scriptures that talk about wine, check it. It's clear. It speaks of celebration, rejoicing, deliverance, captivity. Think of, if you are God, which celebration, which rejoicing would you be doing? If, assuming you are God, and you are going, if God is going to rejoice, what rejoicing? Is it that you pass the exam? God started rejoicing, you passed the exam. Or you married a new wife. So, Ike has married a new wife, I'm rejoicing. Is that what is going to rejoice God? The only rejoicing God is going to rejoice is that He has got a son. So that He might bring many sons unto glory. So the rejoicing God has is that men have come to sonship. You understand? So when God has a son, then He can rejoice. And you can see the prodigal son, all through when the man was there, the father was at the door waiting for the son to come. He was there. So when the man began to come back, the father was already waiting. And he's still waiting, saying the husband man has long patience. He's waiting for the fruit of the earth. He's waiting. He said that all creation standeth on tiptoe, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Heaven is waiting for sons to come home. And I'm telling you, that time is growing very, very, very near when the sons of God are going to come forth. He said, these we are redeemed from among men, being the first fruit. He said, they were not defiled by women. That defiled the spirit of that woman of Babylon, the spirit of that woman of the strange, the spirit of Jezebel. These are spirits that defile the soul. Amen. That's one. That's the rejoicing. Now, when you look at the other one, so it speaks of, actually it speaks of the union of the bride and bridegroom. That is what the wine represents. And the Bible says, he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. So the spirit of Christ is going to, he said he'll bring all things together in Christ. The things in heaven and the things on earth. So the church is coming together. So that time of rejoicing, of deliverance, that's what tabernacle speaks of. The coming together of the church. The head and the body joining together and functioning together. That is. Now, the other one of the oil, speaks of the oil, speaks of the anointing. Now, Christ means the anointed one. What does anointing mean? Well, God defined it for me. Simple. God, a man, is anointed. Oil on flesh is the anointing. He said, you shall call his name Emmanuel. Because he's what? God. A man. That's the anointing. Now, when you look at yourself, which part of you has been anointed? My spirit has been anointed. But the major part of me is not yet anointed. What is that major part of me? My soul. My emotions need to be oiled. My desires need to be oiled. My will need to be anointed. So there is such a thing called the anointing of the soul. That's my own term. It's not in the Bible. It's actually, you heard me. It's my own term, anointing of the soul. But like, it's my own. Oh. Please, leave my own alone. Go and get your own. I call it the anointing of the soul. If the spirit has been anointed, then the soul will be anointed. What that means is that the nature of the anointed one, Christ, is going to move from my spirit into my soul. And when the soul hasn't changed, the body will follow suit. Amen. So the spirit, soul, and body will be fully anointed. So that you see angels ascending and descending. The oil will be running in and out. Amen. That's what you see in the lampstand. You see that wick. The wick is in the oil. And it's burning. And it's never consumed. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, my burden is light. If the burden of God is crushing you, there's a problem. If God gives you responsibility, you will carry it. You don't need to practice self. Well, sorry, you have to watch on your ministry, right? But you don't bring professionalism into it. Because it's by the Spirit, you don't learn it. Hallelujah. Amen. So, that is the oil. Then the last one, the fig, speaks of sweetness, speaks of bread, speaks of the flesh, the speaks of the energy source. Right now, we need energy. You cannot say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. We need energy to see evil and say, this is evil. We need energy to see unrighteousness and say, this is not righteousness. We need power in us to say, I'm not going to go so and so. To resist, we need life. We need strength. And he says, it's called hidden manna. It's hidden from the carnal man, but it's available to the spiritual man. Amen. There's a place where there is life. But to get there, you must pass through those flaming swords. You understand? It's inside. You must pass through the... So that means the carnal man is going to be slain. The carnal man is used to earthly, horizontal life. But you are looking at that vertical man. The man that has a depth in God. And has a height in God. And still relates to you horizontally. Don't you understand? Hallelujah. That is the man. Jesus could relate with everybody, but as he's talking, he was talking with his father at the same time. That is the Christ man. The full man. The second Adam. And it's the best thing God has done. And brethren, he has called you and me to it. Okay, it's true. The thing may not be clear to you. Don't worry. Let's go to God. Say, Lord, so and so and so are not clear to me. What is it? Ask God a question. Query it. I never accept anything until I say, God, what does this mean? What does it? Then I wait. And I'm driving, God just, a scripture just comes and declares many, many generations of questions. Amen. And, you know, so that's how you go. So, I want to encourage you. Don't settle for lower. Don't settle for lower. Many people are righteously wrong. That's in the original level. Many people are righteously wrong. No problem with that. Okay, because you don't know. No problem. But God says, the time of ignorance, now. We are coming to the point where the veil, say, as long as Moses is red, there's a veil over the heart. But when you shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. The veils are taken. I'm telling you, they're falling. If you turn your mind to the Lord, you will see that the veils will be taken. And the things will become to be, the things that used to be confused. And the thing is not for head knowledge, it is for strength to walk. Those spirits that are in me, I must drive them out. It is my right. You say that the bride has made herself ready. Whatever I tell you, I must go back and make my decisions. I must burn midnight oil. I must say to anger, this anger, no room for you. I must say to lust, you lust, no room for you. The ancestral spirit, I say, you, I have a bigger ancestral spirit than you. Get out. Amen. Amen. Jesus is my ancestral spirit. Christ is my ancestral spirit. Don't you understand? So, the national spirit, I say, no, I'm from Zion. Hallelujah. I'm not a British man, I'm not a Nigerian, I'm from Zion. Hallelujah. It's easier said than done, no, but we are still saying it. How we will do it. Amen. Hallelujah. So I think my time is up. And we will draw the curtain. I'm sure that, well, let me not say I'm sure. If there are questions, then we can deal with the questions. Some of them we may not be able to answer now. I don't claim that I know everything. Most of the questions, it's not these brothers that will answer it. Because I believe that what God is saying to one, He's saying to all. Hallelujah. It's not any private interpretation. Because when God speaks in the Spirit, any man that opens his antenna will hear it. That's how you know He's speaking to the church. Declaring it and it's there. If you just switch, you will hear Radio Zion speaking. Amen. You tune to Zion frequency, you will hear Radio Zion. And it is the same message. Maybe in different language, but the same spirit that's working the church. Praise the Lord.